T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're now under 2 weeks away from Election Day, but I mean, it seems weird talking about Election Day. So many people have already gone to the courthouse or have requested absentee ballots and have voted in advance. And I've gotten a lot of emails from people who said, well, wait a minute, I knew who I was going to vote for president. I knew who I was going to vote for Senate and Congress. But then I got to this question about the Constitution and redistricting, and wait a minute, what is this? We've talked about it a few times on the air, but I figure it's wise to talk about this again, especially with so many people going to the polls now and on Election Day. Delegate Kirk Cox is the former Speaker of the House of Delegates. He has been around for decades, and he saw what it was like when Republicans were in the minority in the House of Delegates, when there was a Democrat Speaker of the House, and the efforts that Republicans made pretty consistently, district by district, to gain control. He watched as Democrats complained that there was no way they could possibly win with the current situation. And then, you know what? How weird. They now run the state, lock, stock, and barrel, House, Senate, statewide. So Kirk Cox is with us to talk about this proposal, Amendment 1. What is it, and how did this thing come about? And good morning to you.
Well, thanks, John. It's great to be with you. And you're right, I've been through 30 years, so I've been under Democratic and Republican drawing the lines. But I think it came about because in 2017, as you know, we were 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. And there'd been, a big push for this forever. And several bills came about, one Democrat, one Republican, that seemed, I guess, a good answer. It had a piece where there were some legislators involved. There are 8 in all from the Senate and the House. There are 8 citizens. It was a good compromise. It takes basically, 6 out of the 8 in both to approve a plan. It leaves the governor totally out, which I think is a very good idea, so he can't veto it and put pressure on. Mm-hmm. And it's got constitutional protections for minorities. It includes things like, the Voting Rights Act of 65, et cetera. You've got to go by your traditional criteria of compact and contiguous. So I think it's a very good compromise. It passed under Republican control. We were hoping we were going to remain in control. I certainly was. The Democrats voted for it. We voted for it. Then the next year, you have to have an intervening election. We lost control. It was a bit more of a struggle. It passed the Senate pretty easily. The House Democrats most voted against it, but enough to vote for it. So it's passed the legislature both times. I guess the big controversy now is the Democratic Party of Virginia, and a lot of Democrats have now come out against it because, as you know, if it fails, they will draw the lines.
Now, am I making it up? I thought this was a big part of the Democrat push when they were running against you all. When the evil Republicans were in charge, this was the number one thing they were talking about is how do we do this fairly and equitably, and you can't count on the Republicans to draw the lines fairly, so we need this outside group to take the politics out of it. I mean, I'm almost certain I had a number of people on the air talking about that with Democrat credentials, and all that seems to have gone away.
Well, you're spot on. I mean, it was the number one issue for Democrats almost for the last 20 years. It's all they ever talked about during the election, how unfair it was. I will quickly point out we drew them in 2010. Almost all of the Democrats voted for them. But having said that, they always said that, as you know, they sued all over the nation, but particularly in Virginia because of these supposed unfair lines. And so it is very ironic that once the assembly flips, they have every excuse in the world. I mean, they've got four or five that just aren't valid. I mean, they are nothing more than cover to sort of have a reversal, a total reversal on policy.
Yeah. So now that they've got control to draw the lines in their benefit, suddenly all of that rhetoric of the last decade at least goes away. There were people who were critical of this, though, who said, look, you're trying to take politics out of something that is a political, it is just political. I mean, you're drawing political lines. You're the people who are going to be associated with it. You're not going to just go, you know, hire a kindergarten teacher who's not paying attention to politics and say, hey, what do you think we should do here? You're going to bring people onto this commission who know something about politics and have some connection to either one of the parties. What's your argument when that's said?
Because it's a good compromise, John. It does have some legislators on it. As you know, it has traditionally been a legislative function. You can go back to the Constitution. It says times, place, and manner of elections are left up basically to the state legislature. Mm-hmm. So it does have a legislative component to it, but it has a big citizen component. The chairman must be a citizen. And let me remind people also, one of the things that convinced me is we end up in federal court anyway. As you know, last time, the Democrats sued, we ended up not only in federal court, we had a master in California, a special master, draw the lines, who was very liberal and, of course, drew lines very badly. And so that sort of convinced me that this is a good compromise. You know, we were still in charge, so let's do it then. And I like the state Supreme Court much better as a backstop. I think they know Virginia much better. And once again, I've said it's 6 of 8 to approve. So you're not going to have the legislators dominating. The citizens are going to have to come alongside them and approve this plan. You can only vote it up or down into the legislature, so you can't amend it. And once again, ending up in the state Supreme Court. And some people argue that's not fair because we picked a lot of state Supreme Court justices. But I remind everybody, all but one has been unanimously approved. And I think you've covered this, but a lot of the COVID restrictions and some of the powers of the governor I've not agreed with. The Supreme Court has upheld, and a lot of it's even some of the moratorium extensions have all been upheld by the state Supreme Court. So I think they've been a pretty fair state Supreme Court. Three states do have their state Supreme Court sort of as the backstop. One of those is California, which is interesting. And not once has it ended up with the state Supreme Court. There'll be tremendous pressure rightly on the commission to get it right. They will. My guess is if we pass this, the commission will send us a plan. It'll be approved. And it'll be a good compromise.
So your advice, if you were offering it to people who want to take this out of the political realm where it's drawn in the back rooms just by Democrats going forward, is to vote yes on Amendment 1.
Yeah, my strong advice is that if you've been for this type of concept forever, this gives you a chance to really have, I think, a smart redistricting process. If not, you end up with the same situation we've had before. You're right, they're drawn in the back room. And then they can end up in federal courts and you have some master you're not even close to drawing the lines, which is a worse situation. So I think it's a good compromise. I'm very much for it, and I'm promoting it everywhere I go. I appreciate this opportunity particularly.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to have you on, and I think we've been fair and accurate in the way we've described this discussion for the last 20 years. I mean, it's kind of shocking to me some of the people who have been revealed themselves as total hypocrites. Oh my God, you got to do this. Oh, now wait a minute, now I'm in charge? Well, let's sideline this idea. Come on. If we're going to go forward, let's be fair with what we've been talking about this long. And Kirk Cox, a delegate representing Colonial Heights, the former Speaker of the House, obviously a Republican, I do appreciate you bringing that history to us. And not many people left who can talk about three decades in the legislature and help put it in perspective. You're one of them. I appreciate that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.